Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today came from a listener who was curious about the cannabis derivative CBD and its healthy properties. Right after we talked, I started noticing CBD products for sale all around Anchorage. The more I learned, the more curious I became. It seems that the best advice when using CBD is to be a careful consumer. That was a near universal bit of advice from almost everyone I talked to and everything I read to get ready for today's show. So to that end, we've assembled a panel of Alaskans who know about CBD. Let me introduce our guests. Here in the studio, we have Aaron Ralph. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
And you are the founder of Alaska Cannabis Exchange?
Yes.
Well, more on your background when we get back to you. And then I have Jana Nalbandian, a doctor of naturopathic medicine from Avante Medical Center.
Hi.
Glad to have you.
Yes.
And then we have Eliza Muse, public health specialist with the Department of Health and Human Services with the state of Alaska.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thanks for having the show today.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of you guys. I'm a little overwhelmed by all the information I read, so hopefully we'll sort it out together and leave our listeners with a good idea of what to do. Just to tease, later in the show, we are going to have Mark Robocoff, who's here in the city and is a dog lover. And I bumped into him. I'm talking to everybody about CBD, and we ended up talking about dogs and CBD. So he's going to call in around 2:30, and we're going to hear a little bit about what he's learned and what his customers are asking for. He has got a veterinary, or I guess you would call it a pet shop of some sort, and people come in and ask a lot of questions. And so he's been exposed to CBD. So we'll hear a little bit more from him. And that should be around 2:30. Before we get started, I want to correct something I said when I promoted today's show. I said CBD is legal in all 50 states. A local businesswoman called to correct me, and sure enough, after I did more research, I found out that she was right. So a shout out to listener Eliza Sherman, who runs a nationwide network for women on health, wellness, and cannabis called Elementa. And in fact, they have an upcoming class in July where you can learn more about CBD. And you can find a link to that and to all kinds of other information that I've posted on alaskapublic.org under Hometown Alaska, because I shared a lot of information, everything from the DEA's schedule to news stories about research being done on CBD, to places where there have been problems because what was in the CBD wasn't what was advertised and people had some bad effects. So the bottom line is, it really is important for you to, if you're going to participate in CBD, which is more like a supplement, not like a drug, we talked about before the show, you really do want to be an informed consumer. So we do welcome your questions throughout the show. And please, you know, learn as much as you can. We've got some experts here, and we really appreciate the fact that they're here, and we want to share their information with you. So if you want to give us a call in Anchorage, it's 550-8433. Statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can take an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So I wanted to circle back real quick with our guests and just get a little bit more background. First of all, Aaron, wherever I went, people said, oh, you've got to talk to Aaron Ralph. He's the guy. And so tell me a little bit about your background so listeners know. And are you a lifelong Alaskan? Or
I've lived in Alaska since 1984. Mm-hmm. I kind of got involved in this because my niece has a very rare genetic disorder called lysencephaly. And she was on about 12 different AED medicines and $2.5 million worth of genetic testing in those medications. And nothing would touch those seizure activities. So we assembled a bunch of mothers together. We had this big group. We testified in front of Congress. We helped get the Federal Farm Bill of 2014 signed so that we could start cultivating hemp. And believe it or not, this, you know, CBD was really the only thing that has helped her reduce those seizure activities. She now goes up to 45 days without having one at all. She's no longer on any pharmaceutical medication. Her genetic disorder actually is less than 500 cases worldwide, and most don't live over the age of 7. She's now 9 years old, and no sign for death for her. She's learning sign language. She's much more alert. All of these things thanks to cannabidiol.
So that's a 2-year effort that you've just been involved in, it sounds like.
Yes.
Or maybe even longer.
Yeah.
That would give you faith and commitment, I would think, in this. But how else? So that wasn't the catalyst for you, was it? Or was it? Or was it legalizing marijuana? Or what? How did you just? I mean, tell us a little bit about the Alaska Cannabis Exchange too.
Well, Alaska Cannabis Exchange It is an actual marijuana facility here in Anchorage. We have another separate company called Ace Holdings, which actually brands all of our CBD products.
Oh, okay. Two separate companies. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And so we've been doing CBD quite a bit longer than we have marijuana because, you know, marijuana wasn't legal in Alaska until the last couple of years. So, you know, basically it was we wanted to create the right product. You know, in the beginning, we were ordering products that other people like Colorado, Kentucky, and administering it to her, sending it off to a lab afterwards, finding out that it actually didn't contain CBD at all. It was containing THC. So that really kind of prompted us to make sure that we tried to figure out a way to produce the product correctly so that people could have access to a good quality tested product.
So kind of a quality control issue that you got involved in.
Yes.
Jenna, let's switch over to you and find out, you are a naturopathic doctor, and I found you because I was looking for a naturopathic doctor who might be willing to come on and talk about what's going on with their clients and what they are recommending and just how they deal with this curiosity about this new substance that we don't know that much about. So do you get a lot of interest in your practice?
I do get some interest, and actually my interest in CBD was mostly driven by patients coming in who have already researched it, mostly for anxiety, pain. I did have some patients come in who have inflammatory bowel disease, that's like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's, who have found that CBD oil works for them in controlling their symptoms. I did have one patient come in once who was putting topical CBD oil, and she had breast cancer. This was a very advanced case of breast cancer. This individual decided not to go the conventional route. And so that sparked my interest. I wasn't, you know, big into the CBD oil until actually patients brought it to me.
You had to study up.
I had to study up. And actually, a previous student of mine, I taught at Bastyr University in the School of Naturopathic Medicine for 15 years in lab medicine. I had a student of mine who actually also has a PhD who is big into the research in CBD cannabis in California. Mm-hmm. And so when patients started coming in, I actually called her up and I said, okay, what would you recommend? Who really has the better CBD? And of course, she pointed to the Colorado group at that time. But there's also another big company in California that produces a lot of CBD and CBD and THC products. Mm-hmm. So, and the more that I read, of course, at least on the legality, seems to be fairly muddy to me of what can come into the state, what can't come into the state, whether mm-hmm. we have to make it here or what's going on.
Yeah. And are you a lifelong Alaskan? I'm just curious.
No, actually, I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. I've been living in Alaska for 8 years.
Just in time for all of the hubbub.
Yes, absolutely. And it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't legal in Washington. When I left Washington, it did become legal. Down there.
You're speaking of marijuana.
Yeah, marijuana.
Yeah. Okay, Aliza Muse, let's go to you. I got to you because I called Jay Butler up. And I, first of all, I wanted to say, Jay, I don't know if you've done a line one, your health connection on CBD, or you're planning on one, but I'm hearing there's a lot of curiosity. So would you like to be a guest? And he said, no, but Aliza would. he thought it was a good topic because he too thought there was a lot of curiosity and that there's a public information role. I know that you don't regulate CBD. Tell us a little bit about your job.
Sure. Yeah. So I work for the Department of Health and Social Services. I've worked for the department for the last almost 8 years. But most recently working on marijuana education and treatment and youth prevention. And while the regulations that guide the industry here, AS 1738, are really specific to marijuana tracked from seed to sale and not necessarily CBD derived from industrial hemp, which we may talk about today, I'm very familiar with the regs related to marijuana and the known health risks associated with marijuana use so really our role is about prevention but also responsible use of marijuana products among Alaskans 21 and over. So and really once marijuana was legalized in 2014, it really was a role of the departments to form a cross-agency work group to really put out education to educate Alaskans about the law but also about what we knew about the known health risks associated with marijuana use. Again, CBD oil or CBD is a very is a newer area for our department. Again, not regulated under AS 1738.
Would you consider it a product of marijuana, but not really marijuana?
It's a product of marijuana for sure, but it's not regulated in the same way in our state.
Right. So let's tackle what is CBD, and I'm going to come back to Aaron, because I've read it comes from sativa. What is it called?
Cannabis sativa L genus.
So CBD comes from that. So does marijuana, but there. How would you describe these different products, or are they? Do they come from? I heard brother plants and sister plants and all kinds of things, but help us understand: is CBD derived from hemp, and hemp is derived from marijuana, and therefore they're all marijuana products, but not all containing THC, which is a psychoactive part of marijuana. Is that right? Okay, help me.
Okay, so. And looking at the way that it's, when it comes to hemp, the definition of hemp is the cannabis sativa L genus plant containing less than 0.3 or 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis. So even though marijuana and hemp are both cannabis sativa L genus plant, there is a differentiation between the two. So again, what defines hemp is that less than 0.3%. And looking at cannabidiol can actually be derived from hemp, and it can also be derived from marijuana. And it really depends on the genetic of what you're growing. So there are certain genetics that can be grown as hemp. They'll be grown as female plants so that they flower, really generate the oil, which is a little bit different than what we call industrial hemp or phenola, which is basically where you spread out seed. That seed then, I guess they call them poppin' seeds, and the seed starts to grow. However, in those seeds, there are males and females. So what happens when they start to grow, they start to flower, the male then pollinates, turns all the female flowers into seed. So that's the whole goal, is that they want to repopulate. So when you're growing more genetic specific, then you're growing all females. They don't have males around to pollinate them so that they grow the flower to its fullest extent.
So in other words, CBD would be the female plant that was not fertilized?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Because again, CBD is found in both hemp and marijuana.
Okay.
But it's the genetic that defines what actually is contained in that plant. So you have some that are really genetically, altered or throughout the years, people have crossed certain genetics to try to create that high THC. But most all of it still contains small amounts of CBD. And what really determines is you have this precursor of cannabigerol, which is CBG. And CBG either converts to THC or CBD in the plant.
Oh.
So again,
it goes
back to the understanding the actual genetic of that plant.
Yeah, okay. Because I know some of the things I read said, for example, that you could have CBD in marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
And you can have small amount of THC in CBD.
In hemp. Correct.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Trying to find the right way to talk about this so not to be confusing to people. We've got a caller, so I'm going to welcome Anthony on the phone from Wasilla. Hi, Anthony. You've got a question?
I just wanted to touch base. First off, I appreciate everything you guys are doing, Aaron, and I appreciate you guys airing this show here. My name is Anthony Delfeatro. I'm the proprietor of Hempire Co. We are a CBD company out here. We kind of have a very unique business model, and we specialize in the different cannabinoids and terpenes of specific plants. I just wanted to touch base a little bit on what CBD is, following up with what Aaron was explaining to you guys. Basically, we need to first step back and realize that cannabinoid means any chemical compound that's directly interacting with what's called a CB1 and CB2 receptor. So that being said, does not strictly limit it to a cannabis or hemp plant. This can be coming from several different sources. CBD in general, actually, as more and more research is being developed, can come from multiple sources, including hemolith flowers.
What's a hemolith flower?
A hemolith is a hop.
Oh, hop. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Same deal. And then pine bark. Hmm. You can get CBD. So CBD, when isolated to 99.9%, whereas CBD is CBD no matter what source you get it from. So that being said, the regulations that are unrolling really got to recognize this too, that CBD can come from other sources besides just cannabis and hemp.
So Aaron, can you add anything to that? Is this stuff you already know?
Yes.
Okay. Because that does, it isn't just a cannabis product then.
Well, right now, most of the CBD products that you'll find are cannabis derived.
Okay.
I'm not aware of anybody who's actually, you know, pulling CBD from some of these other, you know, plant materials.
Mm-hmm.
Green Jar specializes in a company called Grown, and they are pine bark CBD.
Okay.
I mean, it almost sounds like we've been talking before the show how little research and how much need for more research is, and I imagine that even understanding CBD and where else it might come from is part of that research that's still just unfolding. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, Anthony, do you get a lot of customers wanting to understand CBD?
So that's what we base our whole model around, the education aspect. We've created a family-friendly environment because a lot of these folks that are in the military seeking this help can't be seen in a dispensary, or families that are trying to, you know, they can't bring their kids into a dispensary to get this education. So really, realistically, we start off by inviting them in, sitting down for 15, 20 minutes, explaining the whole endocannabinoid system, our indigenous cannabinoids, the phytocannabinoids that we resupplement into the system. So the education aspect is huge in our business model. And basically, two people aren't going to metabolize the same product. So we really got to find that specific blend to fit their needs. Whether it be stronger CBD or no THC or different terpene blends, we kind of really work hand in hand with our clients to figure that out. And same deal. It's just more about the education and spreading the word and lifting
That's kind of the theme of our show today, which is to try to help consumers and get them on knowing the right questions to ask or knowing what they should be aware of. So thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it. And we're trying to do what you're trying to do, which is inform people. So great.
Keep it. Have a great day, guys.
All right, Anthony. Thanks a lot. If you've just called in, just we'll let you know the topic today is CBD, hemp-derived CBD, and it's for sale around Anchorage. There's all kinds of things to read on the internet about it. And my goal today was just to give consumers, since it's not a regulated substance, so help consumers know about it, and if they are using it or want to use it, what they need to know about it. So just to remind you, we have guests today in the studio, Aaron Ralph, founder of Alaska Cannabis Exchange and Alaska Cannabis Holding Company. Is that
Ace Holdings?
Ace Holdings. Okay, I did not know there was that. Ace Holdings. And then we have Jana Nalbandian, a doctor of naturopathic medicine at Avanti Medical Center, and Eliza Muse, who's with the public health. She is a public health specialist with the Department of Health and Human Services. Could we talk a little bit about why it's unregulated? I mean, not because it's anybody's fault that it's unregulated, but just that why is it that we find ourselves with the public so interested in something and without sort of solid information because the government hasn't gotten there yet or whatever? So let's talk about that, because it's in the marketplace. And I certainly found stories on the web. I talked to Lisa, found Fort Bragg had an incident with people vaping with something that was called CBD, but it really wasn't. It had spice or something else in it. So those were consumers who were ill affected by the fact that they didn't know what they were getting. So anyway, I just kind of like to talk about the climate that we're in right now. And I don't direct this to any one person. Don't be scared.
Well, I can start. This is Eliza. And I think there's a lot of legal gray area and nuance with this between the DEAs, who have famously classified marijuana as a Schedule I substance, and then
which means
that it's
no medicinal value.
No medicinal value. It's habit forming, and I know you.
It's on
describe
our website.
The Schedule
I. Yes, we do have Schedule I. Yeah, on our website. So it's a Schedule I controlled substance. And that probably has slowed down research, I would guess, just because it's hard to get your hands on it to do research.
Absolutely. And so there are parts of the plant that are exempt. And then we have hemp products too, that in some states there are CBD-only states or states that have legalized and regulated hemp in the same way that Alaska has just recently legalized and regulated.
This last legislative session, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So, which is great because that opens up the door for more research from universities, the Department of Agriculture, to be able to do more research on CBD that's derived from hemp. Where in our state, we do have adult use marijuana, which is, again, guided under AS 1738, which does require random, but also requires testing for marijuana products of all types, which includes CBD. And so those are subject to the battery of tests that other CBD that is derived from hemp that crosses state lines, because it is okay to transport CBD that's derived from hemp across state lines. That's not regulated, and that's not that material is not tested. And so when you have your outbreaks in Utah and also on Fort Bragg of these products that have been laced with unknown substances, some containing spice, it just kind of goes to show that these products have not been tested and are not subject to the battery of tests that our state requires marijuana manufacturers and cultivators to undergo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Erin, anything to add there? I know that you're an advocate for awareness, so do you think we're just in a lag time and we'll eventually get there which may be a blessing or not, depending on, you know, what it means. Things can get slower with regulation, but on the other hand, there's a safety factor. So what's your thought about all that?
You know, it really comes down to our federal government. They need to release or at least start allowing for more research. In looking at the hemp bills that are being passed in states, those are pilot programs, so those are for research purposes. So that's a start. We really need to start moving into doing research on the marijuana side of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that really comes down to bureaucracy and federal law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a tiny break here. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and our topic today is CBD. Erin, help me with that.
Cannabidiol.
Cannabidiol. Okay. That's our topic today because it's in the marketplace. It's all over Anchorage. I had listeners asking, could you do a show on CBD? And I've tried and I've stumbled because it's complex and I can find differing resources and differing approaches. And so I sought experts in town who, and you might not feel like you're experts on CBD. Some of you do, some of you don't, but you do know more than the average consumer does about maybe how to think about CBD. So I'm going to throw out our numbers one more time and we'll get back to talking about the status of it being unregulated. So if you're in Anchorage and you want to comment or ask a question of our guests, it's 550-8433. Statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we welcome your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so we had a little break there and we were chit-chatting in that 30 seconds that we had about trying to explain why it is unregulated. And part of it is it's murky because it's associated with marijuana, but it isn't marijuana, it's hemp. We talked about supplements. It is a supplement as opposed to a drug, and supplements are their own muddy water, I guess. I'm learning from our panel here today that it's complex. So why else do you think the regulations are behind the consumer and the consumer's kind of pushing for more?
Well, I would think it depends on what you mean by regulation, because if you're wanting it to stay in the supplement arena, that is not regulated by the FDA because it's considered a food product, and I'm sure there's many companies out there who are producing probably quality CBD and would like it to stay in that category. Because once it steps in and is researched and classified as a drug, then it's pulled out of that whole supplement arena. And, you know, I think it was Orrin Hatch. I don't know if his name is Orrin, but it's from Utah.
Orrin Hatch.
Senator, of course. Yeah. Senator. He was the one that helped pass that whole supplement bill that categorized it as food and falls out of the regulation of the FDA, except, of course, if something gets reported to the FDA, such as some type of toxicity or a health issue. Ephedra would be a good example of that when it got pulled off the shelf because it was having cardiovascular effects. So I think the whole supplement industry there is a murkiness, and there is no requirement really to prove what's in there is in there. I know the FDA will pull things off the shelf. They did something in New York with supplements where they pulled them off the shelf, like from Walgreens, and looked to see if what was in it was in it, and a lot of them did not because it's not regulated. Mm-hmm. So it really is up to the consumer or a provider who understands what they're recommending for patients so that they are safe. And there are some things that you can look for, and I know, Erin, you can talk about that too, but even just for any supplement, there's that label that says good manufacturing
practices.
The GMP is on there. It's supposed to indicate that manufacturer who puts out that supplement, whether it's CBD or anything else, is a quality product. Mm-hmm. Something to look for. So the whole supplement industry is a little odd.
Erin, can you add to that? We were talking about if it remained a drug and it had to be regulated, the testing would be expensive, sort of getting the FDA to approve all of that. Is that part of...
I think I've been told that FDA approval costs about $24 million to go through that process. So what you're going to see is big pharma, you know what I mean? Who has the money to be able to go through FDA approval? Looking at GW Pharmaceuticals, you know, that's a big company. They make a lot of money. I wouldn't say it was too difficult for them to do that process, especially through their Epidiolex trials. However, one of the things that really kind of sets me back with that is they're only using it for four types of epilepsy out of the over 40 there are, and the cost behind it. The cost for treatment for Epidiolex is between $30,000 and $60,000 a year. To me, that seems pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and of course, their argument would be that they've done all this research, so they have to pay for that. I get that. That's what you get.
Well,
with
that, and they're you know they're using an isolate, so they're using actual CBD isolate. However, when looking at the efficacy of an isolate over, say, a whole plant, most of those Epidiolex patients were being treated anywhere between 200 and 600 milligrams of CBD a day. So I think that's really where the cost comes in, is when you're looking at per milligram, you know, it's 15 cents or 16 cents a milligram.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing 200 or 600 milligrams a day, you know, that's where that cost really starts to, you know, come mm-hmm. into play there.
Mm-hmm.
And really understanding how, you know, it being in an unregulated market, you know, I don't really know what the fix is would be for that, you know, besides more research, you know, opening it up for that. We know that it's obviously the research, you know, is being done in other countries. World Health Organization did research.
They just read some of that. We have some of that linked on our website. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is pretty interesting. And, you know, in looking at the way they classified it as a Schedule I drug, that it has... you know, addictive personalities, blah, 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 blah. We know that CBD really doesn't have that addictive, you know what I mean? It's not something that you have to take every single day. As a matter of fact, our company actually tells people to do a reboot every, you know, 30 to 45 days, where you take it away for 48 hours and then you add it back in.
Because you might have saturation or something
like
that.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. you don't want to end up having to take, you know, your body becomes immune to certain things, and so you end up having to take more and more and more of those.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to try to always keep that, you know, those dosages down.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily where you have to spend so much money to.
Because it gets expensive.
It can get expensive.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to welcome Mark Robukoff on the phone. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking a little time to call in. I specifically wanted to speak to somebody because I heard so much about dogs in particular and CBD and people who are having good results. And I realize, Mark, you're not a veterinary doctor, but you have dogs and you actually encounter a lot of customers at your store who are looking for CBD. So I wanted to hear, you know, what your experience is and what your customers know. And do you think they know enough to be doing what they're doing?
Yes, thank you. And yes, I absolutely want to make that clear right off the bat. I am not a veterinarian. I am not a doctor. I was, however, the first business to introduce CBD to the pet market in Alaska. And the initial research that I found showed, you know, that it's perfectly safe and has the potential to improve a lot of these issues. And so I started selling it about 2 years ago. And I was a skeptic at first, but like I said, my research showed there really wasn't a lot of or really any danger. And I immediately started getting incredible feedback on the efficacy of this for specifically older dogs with arthritic joints, anxious dogs, whether that be chronic anxiety or incidental anxiety, like fireworks or flying, skin conditions. There are a few other issues that people find this helps with their dog, older dogs that are starting to see some signs of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a host of problems that this does seem to help with. In fact, some people have purchased it for one problem and found that it helped with another.
Mm. Go ahead. I was just going to say, you said your research showed that there were no bad effects. Just tell us a little bit about how you informed yourself.
I basically did some online research. The original brand was one out of the East Coast. And this, in fact, kind of speaks to the unregulated nature of this product. That first brand, they're still on the market, and they don't even actually put how many milligrams of CBD are in their product. But that's because they don't do the independent third-party lab testing that I'm sure you guys have been talking about.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that,
But even with all of that, just a general Google search, all that you find are positive stories. And I looked up my favorite source for medical information is mayoclinic.org, and I did some reading there as it pertains to people. And of course, a lot of the science is still out, but I was unable to find any reports of overdosing or problems that CBD caused. I was only able to find these wonderful feedback stories of people saying that they got another year with their dog, or mm-hmm. their dog's last couple of years were much more comfortable because of the product.
Hmm.
And since then, I've had 2 years of customer feedback. Of course, it's all anecdotal, but when you get into the hundreds, the hundreds of anecdotes, it gets pretty hard to ignore. Customers, I've had four or five customers actually bring their dog into my store just to show me their dog, show what the effect of it was.
Hmm.
I get somebody telling me or actually thanking me for carrying it probably on average once a day.
Hmm.
Somebody will call in or post to Facebook and just say, thank you for carrying this product. There's, you know, my dog is acting like he's 3 years old again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, story after story after story. Even though the science isn't all in yet, once you hear these stories that many times, it's pretty hard not to recommend it to people to give it a try.
And have you had conversations with veterinarians yourself about it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my store is two doors down from the Pet Stop, which usually gets voted as the best veterinary clinic in town by the ADN and the press. Dr. Riley Wilson is a veterinary there. I believe he's still the vet for the zoo. And he frequently sends his customers over to get some CBD from my store.
Interesting. We should probably, you know, get him on sometime and talk about it. I mean, every time we do an animal show, my goodness, people are calling. They care a lot about their dogs and aging dogs too. I remember we had a show specifically on how to know when it was time, you know, when the quality of life of your dog was not sufficient anymore, that you needed to be able to say goodbye. So anyway, Mark,
yeah,
and
that's probably, I would say, 2/3 to 3/4 of my customers are getting it for older dogs with bad joints. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the thing that it is most consistently helping with, to where I get, I've had many customers who have actually made the appointment, the quote unquote, the appointment, mm-hmm. and then tried CBD and canceled the appointment.
Oh boy, we're tugging at their heartstrings now. Yeah.
A much better quality of life.
Right, yes. Right. Well, Mark.
And that just makes me go home feeling wonderful, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I know. I've lived through an old dog's passing, and I know that would be very moving to people. So, but anyway, thank you. I knew we were only going to have you for a couple minutes there, but I just wanted to hear what your experience was like, and really appreciate you calling in. Mark Robocoff from AK Bark.
Yes, yeah, and thank you, Kathleen. And again, I defer to Aaron on a lot of the questions that I get. He seems to be just about the most informed person I've found in town about on this subject. So I think he's a great person to have on your show, and I trust what he has to say.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark. I appreciate it. And I appreciate him being here, too. I knew when I was on the phone with him, and he was just telling me so much information. I said, we got to get you on the air. So
Yeah. He's a terrific source for us. And between his company and my distributing, we've done an awful lot of good for many, many hundreds mm-hmm. of dogs in Alaska.
Okay, Mark. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you both.
Take care. Wow. Let's see. One of the things I really wanted to do was help people know how to be a good consumer. And I think that one of the things Aaron and I talked about in advance of the show was that the idea that you should ask and can ask for an independent third-party lab test of the product that you are thinking about using. So how hard is that to get? Is that a standard of business that a consumer can expect?
In looking at most CBD companies, the ones who are most transparent are going to provide a third-party lab. If you're going to purchase a product, it's really important that you know what's in that product, that you know exactly what's in every milliliter, I guess, of that product, if it's going to be like an ingestible oil. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you get those is through those third-party lab tests. So when they do a test, they say, okay, this is, you know, you've got a 30 ml bottle, this contains 600 milligrams, or you've got a 60 ml bottle, this contains 1200 milligrams. And what that does is it allows the consumer to understand exactly what they're taking, and also so that they can learn dosing. Dosing is kind of difficult because everybody's endocannabinoid system is different. Everybody processes things a little bit different. We know that CBD is fat soluble, so it starts to store up in the fat cells. So somebody who's, you know, fairly fit, you know what I mean, has less, you know, fat cells in their body, they may need to take more, whereas somebody, you know, maybe has more, you know, fat cells, they maybe need to take less. So because everybody's different, it really comes down to understanding exactly what you're taking. And then learning what we call your therapeutic dose. It's not the same for everybody. There's always what we call that starting dose. That starting dose, we do 3 weeks. So you stay that course for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, you can then start either upping the dose if you're not feeling the effects, or you can lower the dose. But really, it's up to the individual to find that therapeutic dose. In understanding third-party lab tests, it's if you look at the actual lab test, which I believe you posted one online.
I did. We do.
It'll have the name of the lab who did the testing. It'll have also a batch ID number showing what they've tested. And if the company's transparent, they're going to label the bottle, or they're going to label it something to the effect of what that batch is. You can go and get a third-party lab test done. You want to make sure that each batch is tested, because there's no way to standardize a whole plant product. Now, you can standardize, meaning you know exactly what it is, and you can recreate those same results throughout the process when you're looking at an isolate. Mm-hmm. You know, the isolate will come in at 99.9% CBD, so you know exactly, you know what I mean? It kind of standardizes it, whereas whole plant, there's always going to be a variance.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Because it's an organic botanical.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So okay.
It depends on what dirt it grew in. I don't know. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the weather. All these different factors really come into play. Okay. So.
Hey, and we're going to take a tiny break just because we have to.
Okay.
We're going to come back. And I do want to let, we've got an email coming in with a good question on CBD. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and we'll continue talking about CBD right away.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy, and we're talking about CBD, cannabidiol. I think I got that right. Cannabidiol?
Cannabidiol.
Okay. Cannabidiol. Okay. And just one more time, our guests in the studio today are Aaron Ralph and Jana Nalbandian, a naturopathic doctor, and Eliza Muse, a public health specialist. And we are going to take a call right now. Actually, an email we've got from Ryan asking, here we go. I'm curious about CBD myself. I have bad knees, arthritis, and other joint issues. However, when I see claims of CBD treating all types of cancer, depression, and even AIDS, I get extremely skeptical. What do your guests think of claims like this? And this is kind of what we're trying to get at, because there's so much marketing going on. How do you know? Who wants to tackle that? Anybody?
I'll tackle
Jana.
It.
Okay.
Yes. So I think it's good to be a little bit leery about claims, but you have to understand that if you understand that endocannabinoid system and the CB1 and CB2 receptors, CB1 is more specifically for the brain. CB2 can be in tissues throughout the body. They talk about the immune system. So once you understand the chemical structure of this and how it works in the body, and then you have all these different systems, people start to extrapolate, mm-hmm. Well, how does it affect the immune system? It's anti-inflammatory. The immune system is a component, can be a component of cancer. Mm-hmm. So these are questions that have been asked, and there's lots of mice studies out there on some of the anti-tumor and all the stuff going on, but there really aren't any huge human studies to see how well, something like that works in the human population. There are some good studies, as we know, on epilepsy, that's out there. There are some good studies out there on joint. I did see one on dogs where they did where they had the placebo and then they had the group that they actually gave the CBD oil and measured on, how well that dog moved. So it is out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, when they start making huge claims, it's usually just based on, bits of information as, to the understanding of, what CBD can do and where it attaches onto in the body and the different systems. There really isn't right now the cancer. There's lots of interest in the cancer, but usually it's my studies. I mean, I went and looked. It's mm-hmm. usually, you know, little mice where they splice their little genes and give them breast cancer or prostate cancer, and then they use the CBD or, you know, mm-hmm. CBD on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be cautious. You know, you need to look a little bit closer at these companies or do your own search if you understand things from PubMed, which is a huge source for research, or some of these other websites that you can get real research on.
Be careful that you're not at a marketing website. I guess that's
yes, yeah. Marketing website, and it's the same thing. You know, I went to a convention. There was a lot of CBD oil. They're going to hand out all their literature, and of course, the literature is going to be very pro for it. So again, you have to. At this point in time, I think everybody just needs to step back, look at the research, follow the good guidelines of. You know, of how it's manufactured yeah. and that it has what it says
yeah.
it has in it.
Yeah. You know, one source, this is on our website, it's called Journalist Resource Research on Today's News Topics, and it is from Harvard's Kennedy School, and it is, the headline is CBD, is it legal, does it work, research on the marijuana extract. And so I just bring it up because we had questions about, well, can you trust these claims? And what this article does, it talks about some of the tests. You know, for schizophrenia, for anti-anxiety, for treating drug addiction, but they're preliminary, and some of the issues they find are either they're only animal trials and humans haven't started yet, or there's no placebo, so they can't really tell. You know, they can't be sure that this is what stimulated the effect that they want or hope to get. I saw a lot about, because we are in the middle of an opioid epidemic, that there's a lot out there about helping people mm-hmm. with drug addiction. But again, the research is still ongoing. So to Ryan's point and to what Jana, naturopathic doctor, told us, you really have to do your own research and be cautious, mm-hmm. I guess. So we do have a caller I'm going to go to. I'd like to welcome Todd on Hometown Alaska. Oh, we lost Todd. He had something about dogs he was going to talk to us about. So let's see. So we have, I don't know, we have about 10 minutes left. Let's see what we have not covered. Where's my, here we go. I wanted to be sure to be able to, I think that talking about isolates and the whole plant is a little obscure for most people. At least it was for me. Isolate didn't mean anything for me, but I think, and tell me, Aaron and Jana and Eliza, if I'm right, it's when you take something that's in a botanical, but you try to duplicate it in the lab and get the same, or that's not what it is.
No. Okay. So I usually put it to people in the term like, if you have an apple and you know that that apple is synergistic, it has multiple vitamins, it has fiber, it has all this. If you take that apple and you just extract one of the vitamins from it, that's mm-hmm. what an isolate is. So it's not necessarily recreated in a lab.
Okay.
It's just where they only pull just that cannabinoid from the plant.
Okay.
So the difference between isolate and whole plant is is where you pull the full spectrum of that plant. Mm-hmm. So you're pulling all of the beneficials. You're pulling all of the cannabinoids, all of the terpenes, as well as those omega-3s and omega-6 fatty acids. That's what helps the body absorb and process it.
Mm-hmm.
In kind of, you know, understanding what cannabidiol is, we know that it doesn't attach to either CB1 or CB2 receptor in the endocannabinoid system. It does, however, have the ability to remove those molecules from those receptors. But what it's actually doing is while it's flowing through the body, it ends up going to those neuroendings. And most neurological disorders, what's missing is that myelin. And because it goes to those neuroendings, it literally attaches to that. It starts to act as if it was myelin.
Mm.
So things aren't misfiring. It's allowing that myelin is actually what keeps these two neuroendings communicating with each other. And when it's missing, they cross.
Mm.
And when they cross, you end up with Tourette's, you end up with epilepsy, you end up with Parkinson's, multiple mm-hmm. cirrhosis, all of these different neurological disorders. As far as people making claims like we discussed earlier, you know, as far as AIDS and cancer and mm-hmm. this and that, it doesn't necessarily, you know, go to thinking that it cures those. But because it has anti-inflammatory properties and because it has it's got neuroprotective qualities, we know that it can help reduce anxiety. Most people who are sick have a lot of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can reduce those and you can reduce the inflammation, you're helping them through mm-hmm. the process.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but be wary of those claims that
it doesn't cure
cancer or because I mean we have a link on the FDA reaching out to companies that were making claims, and they had testimonials from customers. You know, James R. says this and Jane F. says that. You know, you have to take that down. That is not so.
Correct.
So you really do have to buyer beware. And I have another question, which I think is a good one. Will CBD use show up on a drug test? And I have heard people say yes, it will. So you really need to be careful, even though it's not illegal to have it. I also read that there wouldn't be no CBD in hemp oil, or there would be no THC in hemp oil. I'm sorry. You know, again, we get confused. Let's tackle this.
And that's incorrect.
Okay.
So if you're looking at the isolate form of CBD, it's going to contain zero THC. So that would be one that you could take that you would still be able to pass a drug test. However, whole plant, even though it contains such a trace amount of THC, everybody's endocannabinoid system is different. So, you know, right now, I want to say we probably treat about 10,000 kids worldwide with our oil, and probably less than 1% of them have actually tested positive for THC. But it's still, it can still happen. So it's not something that somebody would want to take if they're being drug tested and they work, you know, a high profile job, something like that. You wouldn't necessarily want to take CBD until we figure out a way to make it legal. So mm-hmm. that you can take it and you're not going to get fired if you mm-hmm. test positive for mm-hmm. THC.
Okay. So, again, sort of the murky waters that we're swimming
yes.
in. Let's see. I'm trying to think. We have about a little bit more time left. And I sometimes say to my guests, what do you want to leave the listener with? And, of course, we had a consumer approach to this. I'm going to start with you, Eliza. Mm-hmm. You do not regulate CBD. Right? I'm right about saying that?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of here for public information purposes, really. So what would you want listeners to really be thinking about?
Well, I think to Aaron's point about independent third-party testing is absolutely necessary, especially in light of the recent emergency room admissions both in Utah and Fort Bragg mm-hmm. as a result of people vaping and consuming unregulated CBD products that were laced with synthetic cannabinoids, or otherwise known as spice. So really, you know, I guess in this new world we're in, it's be your best advocate. Ask for third-party independent testing if that's an area, you know, if you want to try CBD products. I guess, just that precautionary principle of just trying to do your own best research and be your best mm-hmm. advocate. And knowing that in light of, you know, these products currently are not regulated.
Right, right. We did talk at one of our breaks about a bill by Mitch McConnell that was trying to open up research opportunities by, what was his bill actually doing?
Well, there was the 2014 hemp bill,
right.
Which, again, allows states to operate in a pilot program for hemp.
Alaska
has. And then the new bill, which hasn't been, you know, I don't even know if it's been heard yet. I'm looking at Aaron right now. But it basically expands the definition declassify or perhaps take CBD that's been derived from industrial hemp and make it even clearer that it's not classified as a Schedule I drug the way the rest of the plant is.
Is that a good summary of
yes.
it? Okay. So anyway, change is coming even more now. We can expect more change, and perhaps that will open up research opportunities too.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what our state does between the Division of Agriculture and, you know, perhaps with our universities and really growing and researching and testing for the purposes of looking for, you know, expanding treatment options for people, especially mm-hmm. with serious conditions.
Mm-hmm. And Jana, how about you? What are you?
Well, it's not much different than what Eliza just said, except that as a consumer, If you have questions about healthcare concerns and using CBD oil, definitely talk to your provider, somebody who's going to listen to you. Watch, you know, this is going to unfold and the research is going to come out. And definitely make sure that if you're going to, on your own, buy CBD oil, whether it's online, most people do online, make sure that you're aware of third-party testing, you know, where the source is. And I don't know if Aaron talked about this, but a lot of the hemp products or sources do come from outside the United States. A lot of these companies will buy products from China. I think China's a big seller. I think Romania is another big seller. And there could be contaminants and toxins and all kinds of things because we're not regulating it and making people, you know, produce, you know, testing that shows what's in it. So the biggest thing is, you know, read, become knowledgeable, and then be aware of what you're buying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Aaron, we have leaned heavily on you today, and you have said this as much, you know, third-party testing. But I was wondering if you have sources of information that you recommend to consumers. I mean, where do you get your information?
My information has come from everywhere, but mostly just hands-on, mm-hmm. Dealing with people. I mean, one of the things that I've done over the last 4 years was educated doctors on the endocannabinoid system. It's not taught in medical school, so it's really something they have to learn for themselves.
Yeah, you hear about the endocrine system, but you don't hear about the endocannabinoid
system. No. And it's the largest group of receptor system in the body. I mean, it literally can regulate the entire body. So, you know, that's always been a big problem for me is, you know, this is something that is part of the human body and it was discovered, you know, almost 30 years ago, yet it's not being taught in medical school.
Hmm.
And, you know, more and more, and I explain this to people, talk to your healthcare provider, tell them what you're doing, tell them how you're feeling and taking CBD, because they need to open up and realize that they have a voice too. You know, right now they can't prescribe anything to you. They can make a suggestion and they can say, you know, go down to the marijuana store and pick yourself up a bottle of CBD, blah, blah, whatever. But they can't prescribe it. And one of the things that I've really advocated for was as soon as our doctors step up and say, you know what, this is working for all of these people. I want to be able to suggest this. I want to be able to carry this in my practice. And I want to be able to administer this over top of, you know what I mean? Before administering opioids or before administering these drugs that are barbiturates and that mm-hmm. really, really affect the liver and the kidney and mm-hmm. the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a lot of these drugs, pharmaceutical-wise, have a lot of adverse effects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've...
Can cannabidiol be created chemically, artificially?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm pretty sure anything can be created in a lab. However, in really looking at the efficacy between isolate and something that maybe would be created opposed to whole plant, is it really as important that you do whole plant because it has those other cannabinoids that attach to the receptors.
All right. Well, the music is here. We got to go. So thank you. I'm glad that we got to touch on that because that was one of my questions I kept forgetting to ask you. So I want to thank Aaron Ralph. From Alaska Cannabis Exchange and
Ace Holdings,
Eliza Muse, a public health specialist, and Jana Nalbandian, a doctor of naturopathic medicine. And thanks again to Mark Robokoff, a dog lover who shared some information. I'll be back as your host next Monday on Hometown Alaska when we hear from real farmers and take a look at farm life in Alaska. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Eric Bork was our audio engineer today. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.